manifested in many different ways. All right? But he says the same Spirit. Okay? And there are differences of administrations. Okay, what that is means is how the gift is ministered or how it is displayed or how it is shown. There's different ways to bring forth God's gifts, okay? Differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations. So the way that the gifts of the Holy Spirit operate, they're different. Amen? And it says, but it is the same God which works all in all. Now pay attention to verse 7. Who is supposed to benefit from the manifestation of the Spirit? Okay? Everyone is supposed to profit. Okay? Or to benefit. So the purpose of the gifts is to magnify Jesus, and so that everyone can benefit or profit from these gifts, how they're administered, how they operate, and the differences of them. Okay? And let's go down to let's go to chapter 14. Okay? And let's look at verse 26. It says, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, a doctrine or a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, and has an interpretation. Let all things be done unto what? Edifying. Okay, that means the body should be built up, should be benefited. All right? Now, I want us, if you can pray in the Holy Ghost, I want you to pray in the Holy Ghost for a minute. All right? And I'm going to give you an opportunity, if you have anything to edify the body. All right? I'm going to give you the opportunity just to use that, just to say it or whatever, okay? Because you guys have the Holy Spirit, right? So we're going to pray, we're just going to be sensitive to God, and we're going to flow with the Holy Ghost. Amen? People are thinking, oh no. Don't be nervous. Don't be scared. Okay? This is how we learn. Listen, we can be taught how to yield to the Holy Spirit, but until we do, I mean, you can learn and learn and learn, but at some point you got to do it, right? Oh, Rabasitia Ramama. Father, we give you thanks and praise. Bless your holy name. Oh, Rabasitia Ramama. Oh, Ramama Mama Mania de la Baca Sanda. Oh, Rabasitia Ramama Mano no Raboca Sata. Oh, Ramama Mama Sitia Rabaca Sanda la Mama Mama. Oh, we give you thanks and praise and glory. Oh, Rabasitia Ramama Mama Mama. Kieramana no lobora satia nella mamma. Iela marasondoro borraca satia nella mamma. Iela bacasondoro borraca satia nella mamma. Iela bacasanda la bacasanda la mamma. Iela bacasondoro borraca sanda la mamma. Iela bacasondoro borraca sanda la mamma. Oh, ramasiti alla mamma mamma. Oh, Rabaka Sandala Mamama. Now I'm going to ask anybody if you have something edifying to share with the body that people can benefit from. I want you to come up and share it. All right? For right now, we'll just keep it short and sweet. It could be a psalm, a hymn, a spiritual song. It could be a word of encouragement. We just give you thanks and praise, Father, for moving. Hallelujah.
Now, those of you who, the words I got were that if you weep sorely, if you weep and are in grief, that remember that Jesus is your friend and he's faithful and he's there with you.
Amen. Praise God.
Don't worry, God's there.
Amen. We're just letting the Holy Spirit move.
Keep being faithful as you are, because many will say, Lord, Lord, have we not done miracles and good works in your name? And he will say, I will never knew you. But I know you, and keep doing what you're doing to bring people to salvation to me.
Amen. Anybody else? Wait for a few moments. Hallelujah. All right. Maybe if you get something as we proceed, then don't be afraid to come up. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. We're still talking about cooperating with the Holy Spirit. We're going to start here, and then I'm going to talk about an individual that cooperated with God's Spirit, and I think that we can learn a lot from that person. John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. Jesus is talking here, and he said, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you for how long?" Okay? "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not." In other words, they have no vision of spiritual things as far as God is concerned. "Neither knows him." They don't have a relationship with him. "But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you." And I want you to think of that phrase, "with you and in you." Okay? And we're going to talk about how the Holy Spirit was with someone and how that they even worked in this person. And, you know, the Holy Spirit, he'll keep you from error. He's the Spirit of truth. Okay? Go with me to Luke chapter 1. The person that we want to talk about is Mary. How many know that Mary cooperated with the Holy Spirit? Now, this was before Jesus, obviously, resurrected, because he hadn't been born yet. But the Holy Spirit wanted to do something in the earth. He wanted to become a man. God wanted to become a man. And he needed a woman to yield herself and cooperate with him so that God's will could be done. Amen? Is that right? You know, Now, God could have probably just made a man from the earth and breathed his spirit into him, but that's how he wanted to do it. He needed a person to cooperate with him so that his will could be accomplished on earth. God needs you to cooperate with him so that he can accomplish his will on earth for you and through you. Are you available for God to use you? That was a question. Let me ask it again. Are you available for God to use you? And in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women. So the first way that we can cooperate with the Holy Spirit is provide a habitation for God. And a habitation, I just looked up the word in the thesaurus and it said an environment, a surrounding, a territory, an occupancy, or a dwelling place. Are you a habitation for God? Something to think about. Okay? So here we have Mary. A messenger from God came to her. Okay? He brought God's presence. Who sent Gabriel? God did. He came from God's presence so that he could bring God's message. How many know that the best place to get a good message is in God's presence? Amen? Okay? So, he brought God's presence, and because God was about to do something on the earth and in Mary's life. Guess what? Just as much as God wanted to use Mary, he wants to use you. He's got things that he's designed you for. He's got assignments that he created you just for those assignments. Okay? Something new was about to happen. What was about to happen had never happened before. Okay? Brand new. God's a creator. He likes to do new things. Say, I can embrace something new. If God were to speak to you today and give you a new way of doing something you have been doing for years, how inclined are you to do it his way versus the way you've been doing it? Come on. Okay? So, I want you to know that the angel said he declared that the Lord is with her. Okay? See, the angel Gabriel is like a type and a shadow of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit comes from God. Jesus said, I will pray the Father and he will send you another comforter. And when he comes, he always magnifies Jesus. He always speaks of the Lord. He always speaks what the Father's telling him. And he's come to help us. Okay? But now this was before the Holy Spirit had come on the earth as far as falling on everybody. Okay? Being poured out on everybody. And his presence was abiding, and Mary was the habitation. God had chosen Mary to be a dwelling place for his presence so that he could accomplish his will on the earth. Guess what? God wants to dwell in you. He wants you to be his habitation. And so he said, you are highly favored. The proof of God's favor in your life is his presence dwelling in you. Because you have God's presence, you have God's favor. Say, I have God's favor in me. So everywhere you go, favor can work if you release your favor by faith. Okay? So God wants to, you know, there's just something about his presence. You can go into God's presence anytime, anywhere. You can go there. You all have an open invitation to come boldly before the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace. How many need mercy? Okay? You obtain mercy by going before God's throne. And grace. Grace is God's power, his strength, his ability. You can obtain mercy and find grace when you need it. Aren't you glad that Noah, do you realize if Noah hadn't found grace with God, this world would have been different? Think about that. The last person that was able to save the earth was Noah because he found grace. You read in Genesis, Noah found grace in God's sight. That tells me that Noah must have went before God in prayer to find that grace. Okay? So you can find God's grace. And, you know, we know that God wants to abide in us, and he wants us to abide, for his words to abide in us. Okay? All right, let's go on. Verse 29. All right, when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. Sometimes when the Lord reveals what he wants to do in this earth, or some people get surprised at the fact that God wants to use them. See, because maybe the devil has lied to you. He told you that you could never be used or you'll never amount to anything. But I want to tell you something. God's got other plans. Amen? Some people are shocked and surprised. You mean you want to use me, God? Say yes. Say, God wants to use me. Say it again. Say, God wants to use me. He does. He wants to use everyone that will yield to him, that will cooperate with him, that will be available to him. God really wants to use you for great things. You know? And whatever, wherever he leads you in life, you can be used of God. Because all it takes is a willing heart and a yielded vessel to be used by God. He can use you. And was there any place where Jesus was restricted from operating aside from the fact when he went to his hometown? Was there any place that he couldn't operate aside from that place? Any place? So if God could use Jesus anywhere he went, God can use you too. Okay? Then the angel said to her, "Fear not." You know, when you want to cooperate with God, you cannot cooperate with fear. If you've been cooperating with fear, you're going to have to relinquish your cooperating with fear, and you're going to have to cooperate with God. You cannot cooperate with fear and God. So God's going to deal with your fear. Fear not. Okay? The way God deals with fear is he said, don't fear. He stops fear. Okay? You know, Jesus is like a crossing guard. And fear is like the cars that are going by. But when Jesus is in the middle with a stop sign, that fear has to stop. Amen? That's good news. Okay? Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You know, you don't have to fear because you found favor. Okay? And behold, you shall conceive. The second step to being cooperate with the Holy Spirit is to conceive something. Or the word conceive means to imagine, to visualize, to picture, to consider. It means to regard, to think on, to look on, to perceive, think up and dream up. It means to formulate, to invent. When God speaks to you, he wants you to get a picture. Without a vision, without a revelation, what happens to God's people? They perish. You know, God heals spiritual blindness as much as he heals physical blindness. Why? Because he wants people to see. He wants people to have a vision. Okay? He wants you to experience something. You know, bottom line, he wants you to become pregnant. That word conceive, you shall conceive, it means to clasp or to seize. This is the Greek. It comes from a word, sulambano. It denotes that there's a union together. So what happens is, when you are united with God, a seed is planted in you and it begins to develop and grow. Okay? For conception to occur, you need a union. You need to be united with God's nature. Did you know that 1 Peter says you can be a partaker? Or 2 Peter chapter 1, you're a partaker of his divine nature. You can share in his nature. See, I've got the nature of God in me. Okay? When you agree with God's words, you cause his words to be planted in you. How many know that you can either agree or disagree with God's words? When you disagree with what God said, you're like a ground that's hard and it cannot receive the seed. Didn't James say, receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul? Okay? So for these things, you need these things for conception to occur. You need a union. All right? Not a union that you join. That means a coming together with God. Okay? You need an exchange. Because you've got to be able to, there has to be a place of exchange where God can put his seed in you. It's got to get on the inside of you. It's got to get in your heart. There has to be an exchange. You say, here I am, God, and God says, okay, and you connect with God, and then there's a divine exchange. He puts something on the inside of you. When God first spoke to me about being an heir, I didn't know what that meant, but I was open to it. I didn't understand it, but when God spoke, Galatians 3:29, if you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to what does it say? If you're Abraham's seed, then you'll be heirs according to the promise. Yeah. What happened was, God was getting my heart ready to receive that seed. And what happened was, that seed began to grow in me. See, it started off as something very small, very little, but look at it now. Okay? Then you're going to need moisture. If you want a seed to grow, you're going to need moisture. This causes the seed to germinate. Okay? When the seed has moisture, it gets ready to break through the ground. Then you're going to need a covering, because all this takes place underground. It takes place in your prayer closet. When it's you and God, when you're in God's presence, a divine exchange can occur. And he covers you with his wings. He covers you with his blood. He covers your sin. He wipes it away. There's a covering. God works in the hidden man of the heart. He works on the inside. Listen, if you don't have it on the inside, it's not going to take place on the outside. 3 John 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health. How? As your soul prospers. If our souls aren't prospering, it's not going to occur out here. It's got to occur within first. And then finally, there's a bringing forth. When the seed matures, it bursts forth. It bursts. I'm thinking of birth and bursts. It bursts forth. It breaks out, okay? That's a better word. It breaks out. Okay? You know, Jesus said if in John chapter 7, He said, if anyone thirsts, what are you supposed to do if you thirst for God? He says, come unto me. Why? Because if you're thirsty, you have a need. He's got the water, you have a need, and when you connect the need with the water, what happens? Thirst is satisfied. Okay? Pull up John 7:37 for me. No, John. John 7:37. Okay. Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Okay? The thirsting and the coming unto him, that's the union. All right? And drink, that's the moisture. Okay? Next verse. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, your belief is the exchange. You exchange your faith for his goods. Okay? Out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. That's the bringing forth. Okay? So we have it all in that verse. There's a union, there's an exchange, there's moisture, there's a covering because you're coming to Christ. If you're thirsty, he's the satisfier. He's going to give you what you need. But what do you got to do to satisfy that thirst? You got to drink and you got to come to him. Notice, he doesn't come to you. That's important. Too many times we want God to come to us. Well, he did in Mary's case, but because we got the Holy Spirit on the inside of us now, we can come to him. We got to come to him. Okay? See, because what took place in Mary was her human nature was united with the divine nature. And God was going to produce something in her that had never been produced before. Okay? You know, if you want, Jesus said, if you want the Holy Spirit, what are you supposed to do? Ask. You know, he said, if a son asks for a bread or a fish, is he going to give him a stone or a snake? But do you know that your Father gives good things? And if you want what the Father has, you've got to ask him for it. Because the asking demonstrates faith. Okay? All right. Let's go down. Let's go back to Luke chapter 1. And let's look at verse 32. Well, no, we got to look at verse 31. I'm sorry. Okay, the angel said to Mary, and behold, you shall conceive in your womb on the inside, and you're going to bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Number three is a declaration. God's going to tell you what you should call what's on the inside of you. Because God gave it to you, so he'll tell you what to call it, because there needs to be a declaration. There needs to be a proclamation. There needs to be an exclamation, okay? A statement, an announcement. In order for God's will to be done on earth, it's got to be spoken on the earth. Why do you think Jesus said what he was going to do before he did it? Remember, he told the Pharisees, in 3 days you destroy this temple and it'll be built again. What was he doing? He was establishing God's will on the earth with his words. How are you going to establish God's will on the earth? With your words. You know, God He moved in Abraham. In Romans 4, you don't have to turn there, but there's a part there where he said he called those things that be not as though they are. Do you realize that Abraham started calling himself a father of many nations before he was a father? But what happened? What he became what he what? What he called, what he said, what he spoke. Okay? So the angel told Mary, you shall call his name Jesus. Because he had a specific purpose and a specific design that came from God. So God gave her what to call him. He gave her the statement to make. In other words, God was Mary's press secretary. And he wrote a speech for her. And he told her, he said, call him this. Call his name Jesus. Notice she was to call his name. What God puts inside you, you're supposed to speak out. No one else can speak it out for you, because it's not in them, it's in you. What's in you has to be established with your mouth. Once God's seed or word is planted in your heart, it must be brought forth through speaking. When you are filled with God's Spirit, you will speak the words He gives you. Speak unto this mountain. You can have what you say. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, and you shall be saved. Speaking and acting is how you exercise your faith. The evidence of you being in faith will only occur in two ways: how you act and what you say. How you act, what you do, what you say. Those are the only two ways that you can express your faith. What did Jesus say to lame men? Rise up, pick up your bed and walk. He spoke to them. What happened? They believed what he said and they did it. When they couldn't do it before, but because he said it, now it was established on this earth, so now that they could do it. Are you getting this? Look at Isaiah chapter 43, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah 43, verses 6 and 7, it says, I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, who I created for glory, whom I formed and made. What does God do to someone before they're saved? He calls their name. He calls their name. Abraham, Abraham, here I am, Lord. He calls their name. Because, listen, someone can't get saved unless they're drawn by the Holy Spirit. They have to be drawn. And sometimes His goodness has to go before a person to bring them to repentance. Isaiah 44, verse 7. It says, who then is like me? Let him proclaim it. I like that. Let him declare and lay out before me what has happened since I established my ancient people and what is yet to come. Yes, let him foretell what will come. Who is like me, says the Lord? Let him proclaim it. When you declare who you are in Christ, you are putting up your shield of faith. And when it comes to the devil, it's always a war of words. Isn't that what David and Goliath? Before there was ever a sword pulled out of its sheath, there was word spoken. And David won the battle of words prior to cutting off the giant's head. Okay? Then, once there's a habitation established, and once conception occurs, and once there's a declaration made, then what comes next is the manifestation. The manifestation. What does it mean? What does a manifestation mean? It means a demonstration, an expression, an appearance. It's a materialization. What happens is God takes from the Spirit. When you're declaring God's word, what you're declaring is being formed in the Spirit, and then when it's ready, it gets manifested on the earth. It appears. It materializes. It shows up. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 35. The angel answered her, and you know, she said, how is this going to be? Seeing I know not a man. It's not going to have to do, this was not going to come about knowing a man. This was going to be supernatural. Okay? The angel answered her and said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. Are you able to yield yourself to the Holy Ghost and let him impregnate you with God's purpose? You know, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they're operated as the Spirit wills, not as we will. You can read it in 1 Corinthians 12. Don't have time to go there right now. So, in other words, when God wants to operate a spiritual gift, how it gets manifested is someone yields to that operation. They say, you know, use me, Lord. You know, God wanted to use Jonah to go tell the Ninevites, 40 days and you're going to be destroyed. At first, he didn't want to go. At first, he was unyielded. God gave him an instruction. God gave him a command, but he didn't want to do it. God allowed him to make that choice. But that choice gave consequences, didn't it? A storm, ship lost all of its cargo, and then finally he got thrown into the sea. And he had to spend 3 days in the belly of the great fish. That was his choice. His choice put him there. When sometimes we realize that we've made a bad choice, it's a lot easier to become yielded. When we realize the choices that we made haven't produced the results we want. That choice to refuse what God said do, it cost Jonah something. But thank God for his mercy, amen? Do you realize God spoke to the fish and told the fish to spit up Jonah on the shore. God spoke to the fish. You read it. God spoke to the fish. He said, okay, fish, shoot him out. You know, after spending 3 days in the belly of the fish, he was a lot more willing to yield himself than he was before. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. What are you going to feel when the Holy Spirit comes upon you? I don't know. You may feel something different than I felt before. You just go with whatever he comes on you for. Amen? The Holy Spirit may come upon you and he may say, get up and run. In that moment, you can't say, now if I run, that could cause a lot. You can't reason it out. You can't sit there and think about it. When the Holy Spirit comes on you and he gives you instruction, you need to obey right now. You need to do what he tells you to do right then, right there, how he tells you to do it. I was just watching a video of Kenneth Hagin this morning. And the Lord spoke to him and said, tell everybody that are having problems from the hips down to come up. 12 people came up. And the Lord spoke to him and said, I don't want you to lay a hand on anybody. But he said, I'm going to heal them. He said, tell everybody to run down the aisles and run back. 11 out of the 12 ran. And 11 out of the 12 got healed. Because that's what God told him to do. And he said, now you better know what God, you better know God's voice. When you're about to tell someone that kind of instruction, you better know that God's speaking to you. He knew that he knew. Now the 12th person was a lady. And she refused to run. She said, I can't. But he said, didn't you see the results of everybody else that ran? She said, I can't. He said, okay, go sit down. You'll do without. Because she didn't follow the instruction. But the 11 did. There's the manifestation. It's going to come about by the Holy Spirit. It's going to come on you. And the power of the highest is going to overshadow you. That word overshadow, it means to envelop in a haze of brilliancy. Whoo, I like that. You know, every one time, there's been a couple times where I've given forth a word, and all of a sudden, it felt like warm liquid honey coming on me. I could feel this warmth come on me, you know? Or sometimes your heart starts to beat real fast. You know that God's, okay, God wants you to do something, all right? He wants you to do something. But you got to yield. You know, when the Holy Spirit comes on you and the power of the highest, see, when the power comes on you, you don't necessarily know how you're going to react. And Brother Hagin, you know what he said to this morning? He said, now he's in heaven, but this was an old video that they still play. I have about 10 of them copied. And there was this guy who had his legs burned, and he could hardly run. He said he couldn't run. So he was kind of dragging himself. And all of a sudden, before Brother Hagin knew it, Brother Hagin grabbed his hand, and he was running down the aisle with him. See, because the power, when the power of God comes on you, you've got to be ready to act. You've got to be ready to step out. You've got to be ready to make yourself available and do whatever the power is coming on you to do. The power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. Now there was a couple times, remember on the Mount of Transfiguration where Jesus appeared with Peter, James, and John in all of his glory? The Bible says in Matthew 17:5, while he yet spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Now here they are, and all of a sudden, Jesus is transformed from his natural state into his full glory. They see him with all of his brilliancy, all of his majesty, and they're in this cloud. And it was such an amazing experience. Peter said, we need to build 3 altars here, you know? But and then it was gone. It was there, they had that experience, and then it was gone. But the power of the highest is going to come upon you. So here's what we know. There has to be a habitation. You have to allow yourself to be a habitation for God. You've got to be comfortable in God's presence. You know, God doesn't want you to be awkward. The only people who are awkward in God's presence are those who don't visit frequently. Did you know that every saint can earn frequent flyer miles? You can go before God's presence every day. You can earn frequent flyer miles. People who fly a lot are comfortable flying because they do it a lot. People who are in God's presence a lot are comfortable because they do it a lot. The more comfortable you are in God's presence, the easier it is for God to use you. The more awkward you are in God's presence, the harder it is for God to use you. Because number one, if you want God to use you, you got to know his voice. And you would have had to spend time recognizing his voice, hearing his voice. You've got to hear his voice for you. You know, while Peter was on the rooftop after he had that vision, he was thinking about the vision when the sheet came down. And while he was thinking, the Holy Spirit said, there's some men at the door. Go with them, you know, doubting nothing. The Holy Spirit spoke to him. He knew the Holy Spirit's voice. So here, he had to go with strangers he'd never met before, and he didn't know where he was going. But when you know the voice of the Holy Spirit, you don't have to worry about where you're going. Because he'll never lead you to a place that he can't handle. So there has to be a habitation. Then there has to be a conception. You need to let God's word get on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit speaks the language of the word of God. He wrote it. He inspired holy men to write what God said. So there has to be a conception. You have to allow God's word to come into your heart. Then there has to be a declaration. You have to speak God's word out of your mouth. I couldn't tell you how many times I wrote and I said, I spoke Heirs of Promise Ministries out. I kept speaking it out. I kept speaking it out. I kept speaking it out until finally I'm doing it. You know, it started before we came to this church. We traveled for a short time. But I kept making the declaration. I kept speaking what God put in my heart. And when you do that, then there's going to be a manifestation. But some people, they want the manifestation without going through all the other stuff. Listen, if you're faithful in the other stuff, God will be faithful in the manifestation. He said, if you love me and keep my commandments, I will love you and my Father will love you and we will manifest ourselves to you. God, the Holy Spirit's in the manifestation. He's in the demonstration. He likes to show himself strong. He likes to move. He likes to do things. He likes to see people get saved, healed, delivered, set free. That's his goal. That's his heart. But he needs some people to cooperate with him. Now, you could just as much yield to God as you can to resist God. Takes as much effort to yield to him as it does to resist him. You know, the Israelites in the wilderness, God told them that they were stiff-necked. I'm not doing nothing and you can't make me. God doesn't make anybody do anything. It's a choice. Everybody in the body of Christ has a choice. You can choose to yield to the Holy Spirit or you can choose to resist him. And then some people, they're bound by fear. Or they're bound by what people think. Well, if you're more concerned about what people think than what God thinks, then it's going to be a lot harder for God to use you. Saul was a people pleaser. Everything that Saul did wrong because the people were pressuring him. People were putting pressure on Saul. Oh, I did it because the people wanted it done. You're the king. Don't be blaming the people. Listen, there's no eternal value in living your life to please people. You should love people. You should serve people. But listen, don't make it, listen, there are greater things. That's all I'm saying. Don't let pleasing people be your motive. Let love be your motive. Listen, when you love people, you'll please people. But you, guess what? You won't please all the people all the time. Jesus walked in perfect love and they crucified him. But Mary had this in her life. And when it was all said and done, what happened? Mary spoke. Blessed, she magnify the Lord. My soul doth magnify the Lord within me. After she went through this process, and what God wanted to put in her was established in her, she was joyful and she was exercising praise. And she carried that for 9 months. And I guarantee you that there were some people that criticized her. There were some people that came against her. Why do you think she spent so much time with Elizabeth? To get away from the people that, you know, they knew that she wasn't married yet. And you can only hide conception for so long. People are going to see, once, when you're walking with a conception that God put in your heart, eventually people are going to see it on you. Eventually it's going to show forth. But we can yield to the Holy Ghost. Now, if anybody has a word to encourage or to edify the body, I want you to make yourself available to God and just yield to Him and just come and share what's on your heart. Amen? God just doesn't want to use just me. He wants to use His body. I know some of you have got something now. Come on. We're breaking out of this mold. We're not going to let fear dictate what we do or what we don't do. Come on, I'm going to give you a few moments. You need to act quickly. If you got a nice encouraging word to say, come on up and say it now in Jesus' name.
You know, often there's so many things in this world that can cause our heart trouble and to cause our heart pain, but Word says that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard our hearts. So there's many things in this world that we can try to do to fill that void, to try to give us peace, but nothing can fill the void the same way that Jesus can.
Amen. That was great. Anybody else? This is going to help us as a body to yield to God in greater ways. Amen? You Wednesday nighters, this is good practice. It's good training ground. Anybody else? God wants to use you. He's put a song in your heart. Anybody else? But I want you to notice something. Out of the four people that came up so far, they're along the same lines. They're in unity. Amen? They're all on the same mountain, just looking at it from different perspectives. That's the Holy Spirit is moving. Amen? But He wants to move in greater ways. He wants us to step out in stronger faith. Amen? Well, does this help you tonight? So when the Holy Ghost is moving, let me just finish with this. And if you feel like the Lord wants to use you, get my attention. Amen? And if it's the right time, you go for it. And if it's the wrong time, it may not be right at that moment, but it may be another moment. But make yourselves available. Amen? Because we are vessels that God wants to use, vessels of honor, and He wants to use us. I don't My strong gifts are teaching and exhorting. And Pastor Fiona, she has a strong prophetic gift. Although we minister differently, we complement one another. Amen? And I'm not jealous because she has a prophetic gift, and she's not jealous because, you know, I teach or exhort. But we work together, and it's okay to have different gifts. Celebrate your differences. You know, we don't have a cookie-cutter God. He's very creative. He's very diverse. He's got a lot of ways of doing things. But if you're going to minister to people out there, you ought to be willing to yield here. Some of you are, you're going to grow in it, and that's okay. Amen? So I feel impressed, like next week, we're going to talk more about the spiritual gifts so that we can have a greater understanding so that when they are in operation, we can yield to them. So we're going to talk about the spiritual gifts next week and how we can operate in them better. Did this help you? Father, thank you so much for the word and your spirit working together to produce supernatural results in our lives. We make ourselves available to you, Father. And we give you thanks and praise for your goodness, your patience, your instruction, how you bring us along, how you minister to us and let us make mistakes and you help us. Father, you're so good and gracious. We praise you for that. We bless you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. And I think that there was an announcement I was supposed to make, but I forgot what it was.